Our prelude is Carnival of Venice by Clark, arranged by Bruns, performed by Amber. Thank you, Amber. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Rev. Ralph. I'm serving as minister here at Prairie. I've been a part of Prairie community for almost 20 years. Today is a very special day. We gather together to begin our year as a gathered community. This morning, we carry love and hope and courageous faith and seek to renew our commitment to serve, to learn, and to deepen our spiritual journeys. We remind ourselves of the home we share, a home that we come back to, whether after a long or short absence, a home we welcome all to make their own. a home of love and hope and faith, come. Let us honor those who make our home a caring place for all. Our chalice lighting this morning. The flame of our chalice this morning is a welcoming flame of the warmth and brightness of our coming together for a new beginning. May this flame light our way back together again from our separate summer lives, and may it be a beacon lighting our way forward into this new church year of promise, rewards, and renewal. Our opening music, hymn number 361 in the gray hymnal, please stand in body or spirit, enter, rejoice, and come in. Thank you. The cultural, religious, and human diversity in our community shapes our mission and vision of providing enriching and uplifting experiences that are meaningful and relevant to our members and our congregation. Our community is a living one, co-created by the promises we make and keep. It is enlivened when we honor the voices, experiences, cultures, and understandings of all our members as we shape our journeys together. Ever to be reminded of its local and global nature. If you work with our children and youth as a teacher, I would like to invite you to stand. Those who are working as teachers or working with our children, please stand. Karen.
And stand if you're volunteering in any way with the kids. With youth and children.
And with the children.
Youth and children.
With enthusiasm and gratitude for our teachers that are leading this work, I invite the congregation to read the charge printed on your order of service. I'll give you a minute to find it. With love and respect to you, our teachers, we charge you to lead and co-lead us in this living tradition of learners. We are grateful for your service and the beautiful labor of shaping the lives of our children, families, and members. In the spirit of inclusion, we charge you with creating spaces for learning that recognize that your explorations are both global and intercultural, communal and personal. Will you engage with these questions personally and lead with an intercultural lens? Will you ask for community support when needed and allow yourself to be transformed as you engage in this work? If so, I invite our teachers to say, we do. We do.
Prairie is a shared ministry congregation. As we begin a new year together, let us also offer our support and encouragement to those who invest their time and care in the well-being of this congregation. If you are a member of Prairie's shared ministry, and that's going to be a lot of you here, because if you look on that little sheet that was passed out, it includes all of the members of our committees, our board members, our staff. You don't have to stand, but I am just asking you to rise just in spirit. Okay. So in the spirit of generosity, we are grateful for all who give of themselves to make this community strong. In the spirit of connection, may your work and dedication always remind us of our highest aspirations. And in the spirit of encouragement, may you orient yourselves always toward magnifying love in all that we do. We also want to honor our staff. That would be Nancy, our administrator, Karen, our director of religious exploration, Raju, our custodian, Barb, our choir director, and Amber, our resident musician. May you know as we walk this year together with awareness that your work and service this coming year is so deeply and fervently appreciated by this congregation. May the fruits of your dedication to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society return to you 1,000-fold. So may it be. Now it is time for our story for all ages. Our story today is Drop, an Adventure Through the Water Cycle by Emily Kate Moon. Read by our Director of Religious Exploration, Karen Deaton. We can all stay in our seats because the book will be projected. It is now projected on our screen.
Those of you who've come up already, if you can see the pictures, you can stay up front. If you can't see the pictures, you might want to move farther back. So this book is called Drop, An Adventure Through the Water Cycle by Emily Kate Moon. This is water. Hi, I'm Drop. Drop lives here on planet Earth. She has been here about 4,500,000,000 years. That's how long our water's been around. And she says, I'm 4.5 billion. Drop has seen a thing or two. Like what has she seen in all that time? Dinosaurs, ancient insects. She says, oh, hello there. She has lounged in every lake, luxury, and soaked in every sea, so much sea to see. Drop spends most of her time in the ocean. She rides wild waves, woohoo! And drifts on gentle currents. Sweet. She sunbathes on the surface of the sea. Ah, this is the life. The sun fills Drop with energy. She gets all warm and wiggly. Then she pops off the surface of the water and floats into the air. She's floating. She says, all bouncy, pouncy. Poof. Here I go. And she's spreading out in the air. Invisible. Drop bounces around the air for days. Abracadabra. When she gets colder and less bouncy, she reappears from teeny tiny droplets. Ta-da! Her friends show up too. Drop and her friends like to get together and hang out. When a lot of them get together, what do they make? They make clouds. Clouds are cool. They're saying, bonding time. A crowded cloud can become quite an event. Drop and her friends bounce around so much that they create sparks. Their clouds turn electric, downright shocking. Eek! It can get loud and dark, but Drop hangs in there. We've got this. She knows it will all be worth it. Because that's when Drop gets to be rain. Whee! Drop has been every kind of rain there is. Sprinkling, sprinklicious. Drizzling, drippity drip. Pouring, splishity splash. She's been hail and snow, too. Snow day. Drop loves the adventure of it. She never knows where she'll fall. If she makes it to a mountain, she may slip into a stream. Trickly trickle. Dive off a cliff. Super drop. Roll down a river. Yes. And land in a lake. Hi, new home. If she freezes into snow or ice, she may be stuck somewhere for thousands of years. Brrr. Drop has been glaciers. Are we there yet? And icebergs? Guess I gotta be cool with this. For a long, long time. If she falls in a forest, she may trickle down a tree and soak into the soil. Hi, tree. She could sink down to the bedrock and rest with and rest with the groundwater. Or she could get pulled in by roots. Getting back to my roots. Sucked up through stems. Up, up, up. And pushed out through a leaf. What a ride. Everywhere she flows, Drop keeps thinking and keeps things moving. She even moves through plants and animals. So busy. Drop travels from flower nectar to bees and butterflies. Look at those wings. She fills fruit with juice for birds and bears. Mm-hmm. And you know who else? You. Every time you eat or drink, Drop also gets to flow into you. And that's when a whole new adventure begins. That's the end. Now today, the older kids are going to stay upstairs. So if you're about 7 years old or older, go back and sit with your family. If you're about six or under, come with Ollie and Jesse and me, and we'll go downstairs.
My predecessor, Reverend Matt Aspen, wrote these words from last year's In Gathering Water ceremony, and we thought they were so relevant, I'm going to repeat them for us today. Our celebration today, the In Gathering of Waters or Water Communion, is grounded in a 40-year-old tradition in the Unitarian Universalism faith, using water as a metaphor to remind us of our interconnection to each other and to all. Traditionally, we would each bring a jar of water that represented a summer adventure, whether an ocean visited or a water heater that sprung a leak. Then we would pour that water into a shared vessel. Building on the foundation of that tradition, we have reimagined the water communion to link the past to the present and remind us of our communities to the hopes and dreams of the future. The vessel closest to me, this one here, was created by a member of this community and has been used for this ceremony for many years, at least 20 that I can recall. It is full of water that reminds us of the past we have inherited, all the sacrifice, love, commitment, and the people that have come before and have made this day, this place, and this community possible. The next vessel, the present, the only time we really have available, the place where we work to honor what has come before and ensure that legacy is passed forward for the benefit of our next generation. Water expands, transforms. Our ability to expand and transform provides us the strength and flexibility we will need to keep the flow of our most sacred intentions moving forward into the world. During our ceremony, each of us will be invited to share a few words and contribute water to our shared vessel of the present. To open the open table in the center, this one right here, represents the future. Today, our children, the precious carriers of the future, will decorate the paper with paintings of their imaginings. So, now, that's the context of where we are. Let us take a few moments to reflect on our past experiences in this community. If you are new, reflect on what brought you here. Reflect on your hopes for this community and how you might contribute your unique gifts, perspectives to the community that we all share. If you have a papered water drop, you may write on it what you wish to share with the congregation during this ceremony. Maybe as we rejoin each other for a new church year, you would like to share something that happened to you over the summer. Maybe you would like to reflect on water's role in the world and in the injustice of not having access to clean water. And maybe you would like to share something you hope for the future in the community. We will put these paper drops on a poster in the foyer where all can read them over the next few weeks. Let us now embrace a moment of silence. Let us now return from the silence. And here are the instructions for us this morning. First, we invite the families who have children with us in the room to line up in the outside aisles for your turn to share with children. You are not required to speak, but if you would like to read what you wrote on a water drop, come to the microphone and read what you want to share. Then put the paper drop in the wicker basket. Please keep your comments as brief as possible so that all can share. And if you brought water with you, pour your water in this clear vessel. That represents where we are now, the present. If you did not bring water with you, you may scoop up some water from the vessel of the past and pour it into the vessel of the present. Then children will have an opportunity to do watercolor painting on the paper on the center tables. Take a cup of water with the vessel of the present and help your child get set up in a chair at the table to paint something they hope for or something they like to think about and to celebrate. So, are we ready to begin our water ceremony?
I wanted to share a little bit of what Judy and I wrote. We got a chance to do a lot of nice freshwater swimming this summer at Governor Dodge and at Devil's Lake. And it's also kind of stressful with little kids because water's really dangerous. And so we're also excited for our kids to become strong, confident swimmers.
I've just returned. My name's Heidi Hughes, she, her. I've just returned from the Pacific Northwest, visiting my son in Seattle and his boyfriend, and going on a nice vacation to Victoria and Vancouver, and so beautiful there. And it just reminds us, me and all that have been there in that community, how fragile that ecosystem is and how dependent on water they are. And it was a great, awesome time to be with my family and friends.
Renee, she, her. I'm thankful for all that I have, and I wish that everyone would have safe drinking water. And just a program note, please line up, because we have a lot of people that might want to talk. So if you're ready to either do the water or talk or both, please have people lined up on the sides. Thanks.
I'm Tuppence, she, her. I'm thankful for the community of water. And also similar, I've been taking my son swimming over the summer, and he is fearless so far.
Robin, she, her. This summer I got to cross an ocean and spend time at the seaside in North and South Wales. And I'm wishing for more drops to fill our pond that is more members and kids.
I am thankful for good health.
Hi, Randy Converse, he, him. I have a waterless vessel here to symbolize the plight of the Palestinians and the folks in Gaza. Their water is extremely precarious.
I offer a prayer for a solution to climate change and the protection of our global water, one of our most precious resources. Water equals life.
My raindrop honors Mike Baim, a friend of ours, who is taking paddling trips on the Mississippi River to raise money for wells in Vietnamese villages. Mike is a Vietnam veteran who has spent his life trying to right some of the wrongs of the American war in Vietnam.
As longtime supporters of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, Pam and I were invited to a special event they sponsored, Canoeing the Wisconsin River, in replicas of the original Voyager canoes that were used for transportation in the early days before the steamboat.
Carlene, I'm remembering that for a long time, all we said was, rain, rain, go away. Come again another day. And yay, it did go away for a while. And then we said, come again another day, and it did. And this water represents the rainwater that fed our wonderful garden this summer.
Hi, I'm Marnie, she, her. The ocean floor bacteria carry the potential of conversion to clean energy. I learned about this from my grandnephew, Owen. Scientists are researching this. I think he will one day be one of them, I hope. So here, I trust in all the future heroes and in our endangered, generous ocean.
Hello, my name is Andy, he, him, his. I was going to put some water in from the Dells. Jesse and I took a wonderful trip there recently, but it just seems too insignificant compared to the troubles we have in this world.
I'm Ken, he, his. This summer I had the opportunity to take a pontoon trip with MSCR to talk about limnology on Lake Mendota, and I was reminded that Lake Mendota is one of the most studied lakes in the world because of the early limnology program at UW. Of course, I was also reminded of our dependence, our interdependence for the quality of those lakes by the way we all behave, I guess particularly the runoff from farms, the runoff from residences, phosphorus runoff, the runoff of salts from our streets, the runoff of things like PFAS from use of PFAS and how that's a hazard, becoming, you know, a growing hazard to a great many people's water supplies. So I was just reflecting on that, our interdependence in for the quality of our water. I also want to remember that all of those who do not have access to clean water around the world, they have it much worse off than we do.
I'm Suzanne, she, her. I just moved to this neighborhood in July after traveling for an entire year. So this water is from my home, and I want it to water the seeds of contentment.
I'm Barbara, she, her.
I'm Ron, he, him, and y'all.
And we had a couple of fantastic trips within the last year. One of them was to Central New York, and this is representing water from Onondaga Lake, Saratoga Lake, Seneca Lake, and Cayuga Lake. I love the Finger Lakes so much. They are so beautiful, and we saw our wonderful, loving kids and grandkids and great-grandkid.
So she covered the east end of our trip, and I'll do the west. We went to Helena, Montana to visit Barbara's son, Ted, and I really appreciated kind of the historical part of water that was part of our trip, including that there was a time period during our travels when there was no snow because we drove across North Dakota, which you don't usually do in late December, early January. We watched those weather forecasts carefully and got there. In Helena, there's a little teeny waterway that goes right through a mall they made in the downtown. It's sort of a trickle. But earlier, defined trickle-down economics, Helena got started because of gold. And they had a gold rush in downtown as the last gulch waterway. And by 1888, they had over 50 millionaires in town. I don't think they have that many now. But nonetheless, we really enjoyed a great trip. And also, for us, family is gold.
Hi, I'm Dirk, he, him. Susan and I recently took a bike trip on a place we hadn't been to in Minnesota, with a nice bike trail, Root River. So that's not too far from La Crosse, so we kind of got the Mississippi on one side, but then this goes through, they call it the Bluff Country, and lots of interesting things when you're wandering around on your bike. So that was fun. It's good to see other parts of our waterway system in the area.
I've given the mic to Steve in the back. I hope it's Steve, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm here. I'm not capable of bringing up my water, but I have a little tiny drop of water out of my sink, and I have my card here. Should somebody take this card too? Yeah. And hopeful that things go very well in the next couple of months. I'm starting to walk a little more. Have a little bit of a problem today. My truck wouldn't start. My neighbor helped me get it started, and I'm hoping I got a satchel charger with me. So at the end of this thing, I'm hoping that if it doesn't start, someone can give me a hand. But anyways, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hi, Barbara, she, her. I wrote down that water can also represent adventure. My daughter took me with other people sailing off the coast of Croatia a few years ago. That was a big adventure. But it can be as simple as my son and daughter-in-law's dog in the kiddie wading pool in their backyard on a hot day.
Before Carl's mother passed away a few weeks ago, one of her grandchildren's partner painted this little vase, and she really enjoyed looking at it and holding it. And I hope to be able to give the vase to one of my grandchildren and pass that through the generations. Water does link us. We live in a part of the world with a great wealth of clean, drinkable water, and I wish we could figure out how to share that with the rest of the world, with water-starved people. We have engineered how to move oil. We could do that with water if we were so motivated.
Judy Shee, I love rainstorms, lightning, and thunder that rattles windows with a loud boom. It is a happy memory of my childhood. During fiery, hot Oklahoma summers with rare cooling rain.
I'm Disa, she, her, hers. I'm dedicating this water to my husband. And the need of water, personally, is what sent him to the hospital. In the middle of the night, he collapsed because he was in his cancer treatment mode, and he just couldn't drink enough water. So he received 2 weeks of IV water, and now is feeling much better and grateful to be alive.
I'm Lynn, she, her. I already forgot who mentioned sort of this being a pond. I think maybe it was Robin, which just got me thinking. It helped me coalesce my thoughts about the last year. And just thinking about how we all kind of come from our own headwaters, right? Whatever those gave us, whether healthy or unhealthy, traumatic, calm, somehow we made our way here. And I think our challenge is to help one another heal and help inspire each other to fly. And I was thinking particularly of the drop and our kids. They're in this pond. They get heated up. They get activated. They get inspired. They go out in the world. And it's sort of amazing to see how they do in the world. And then Aaron coming back last week, right, that we're still all connected. All of the water is connected. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Rick, wet, dry. My thoughts are for the woman I heard of today and the plight of her. She's a South Sea Islander who, when the higher waters threatened her family, was traumatized by the thought and the fear that she could only save one of her children if the seas continued to rise around her and her island.
Patty Stockdale, she, her. This summer, I went to a few different places. I went to the Northwest also with Mary, and we went to visit my sister. She lives in Renton near Seattle, and we drove around the Olympic Peninsula. So we experienced a lot of rain. And we, along the way, we had to buy these little rain ponchos. And I have like a million of them at home, but didn't have any there on the Northwest coast. And then in July, I went to my family reunion in West Virginia. And my brother has a house on a lake, Cheat Lake in West Virginia, and he loves it there. And so we spent a number of hours with my brothers and my cousins and family, so forth. And then during the summer, I had my grandson, Jacob, a few times. He lives in Iowa City, And often the way we get together is we meet in Dubuque, which is halfway between Iowa City and here, and exchange. So that's along the Mississippi River. So I visit there quite often.
Well, I'm Mary Mullen, she, her. And the first thing I wrote was that I was thinking of the people of Gaza who increasingly don't have any water, hardly any to drink and hardly any to bathe in, hardly any to wash clothes in, and thinking how we don't understand that really because we've never had to experience that. And then I was also thinking of our trip to Washington, where we went around the Olympic Peninsula. And on the way, of course, we were out by the Pacific Ocean and got to gaze across it on the beaches. But we also saw those huge, huge, huge trees. I believe they said they get 12 feet of water in that area over a year. And some of those trees are 1,000 years old and so big around you'd take 20 kids to get around it or more. And, you know, you look up, some of them are almost dead. One of them that was, I don't remember which kind of tree it was, but it had two tall trunks that looked like they were totally devoid of bark. And yet up there at the top, there was a little bit of foliage, and that 1,000 or so year old tree was still alive. So I enjoyed seeing that. And then the third thing I thought about was the glaciers that are melting because of climate change, and how they're making the oceans rise, and then all the coastal cities are in threat. So water can be everything.
I'd like to share this vial of water. It represents Lake Erie. This past summer, our family celebrated with Carlene's a mother's family, the Harris family. Harris, by the way, is a very joyful last name for contemporary purposes. But Lake Erie was at one time one of the most polluted lakes of the Great Lakes. The Great Lakes represent the largest body of fresh water on the planet. We have Lake Huron, Lake Ontario, Lake Michigan, and Lake Superior, Gitche-Gumee. And without those freshwater lakes, millions of people would not have fresh water. So it, again, the symbol of water is more than just what we share, but it's life itself.
Next, we have Rachel Long.
Okay.
Hi, this is Rachel, she, her, and I better turn off my own volume here. Can you still hear me okay?
Yes.
I could talk about various water that we visited this summer and such, but I want to, if I was there, I would pour water in to represent baby drool, because that has been our lives. Anyone who has young children knows that they're wet. And what we've been doing is taking care of babies. We don't have a chance to bring our babies to Prairie because they're in California, but we, at least Martin and I, will be seeing you at the Prairie Retreat, those of you who can come.
Next, we have Nancy Sterl. I have a hard time saying your name, Nancy. I'm sorry.
Schraffnagel, Nancy Schraffnagel. I was recently out in Ocean Shores, Washington, visiting friends, and we had a place right on the beach, and the Pacific Ocean was right there. And we were so lucky because all the time I was out there, the sun was out, and they live near Seattle. But we went up the coast, and it was just lovely.
Okay, Ralph, that's it.
Our offertory this quarter, Heart Room, is a collaboration between families that have been homeless, Orchard Ridge, UCC, and the road home. The money we contribute will be used for rental assistance to those families. Our offertory is Orinoco Flow from Watermark by Anya and Ryan, performed by Amber. Thank you, Amber. Ministers sometimes use the word blessing. It's a way of showing appreciation for what we have received. It's words of gratitude and thankfulness. I'd like to share this as an ingathering blessing. Guided by love, secured by hope, and made courageous by faith, we have gathered together at a moment of beginning, both learning and teaching, welcoming the injured and the healing, ever justice seeking. May this community be blessed with love. With pilgrims and seekers, growing children and cherished seniors, guided by pillars and by leaders, may this community be blessed with our hope. Praying and resolving, trusting and involving, some settled, some evolving, may this community be blessed with our faith. Let us receive our ingathering as a gift. May it inspire renewed commitment to our great covenant of love, hope, and faith. May our eyes be open to opportunities for broad ministry within, throughout, and beyond. And may the blessings we come to know through that vision be a blessing to the world. So may be it now. And now our closing words by Janet Parsons, read by Suzanne Gernand. Right here, Suzanne.
All rivers run to the sea. It starts with a drop, then a trickle, a burble, a rush of water, bubbling towards its destination, and finally the wide, endless sea. All rivers run to the sea. Today you brought water, poured it into a common bowl. Though our experiences have differed, these waters mingle, signifying our common humanity. Today you came and shared in this sacred community. May you depart the sacred space, hearts filled with hope for new beginnings, a fresh start. Go forth, but return to this community, where rivers of tears may be shed, where dry souls are watered, where your joy bubbles, where your life cup overflows, where deep in your spirit you have found in this place a home. All rivers run to the sea.
Thank you, Suzanne. Our closing music is number 1064 in the Teal Hymnal, Blue Boat Home, accompanied by Amber. Please rise in body or spirit. We have a few announcements. Next Sunday, we have a returning guest speaker, Vicar Vika Etta Henrietta. She will be presenting on the title, Reading the Bible Through New Eyes, Case Study, The Great Commission. And Ms. Steele, Henrietta Steele, will stay after to talk with Interweave after next Sunday's service. Prairie's board is considering creating an endowment fund. We'll be meeting prior to the service next Sunday at 9 a.m. to gather your input. If you can't attend, you may send comments to our Finance Committee Chair, Chris Porter, or our Treasurer, Chris Unger. Please contact Karen by September 10th to request childcare during this meeting. And for those attending Prairie's retreat, please pay your invoice online or bring a check to Prairie next Sunday. Yeah. The retreat organizers would greatly appreciate receiving all payments prior to the start of the retreat weekend. And today after service, there's a visitor orientation. If you're interested in learning more about Prairie, meet in the foyer by the welcoming table after the service. Also today after the service, Prairie's parent group, PUUPS, is meeting. Families will enjoy pizza together.
The service is ending earlier than expected, and the pizza doesn't come until 11:30.
No, we're going to do chores and
things. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Come and find your kids if we didn't bring them back to you.